At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome into Long Shots, the world's number one rated golf betting show right here on VSiN and VSiN.com, the sports betting network. I am Brady Cannon along with Wes Reynolds as we embark on another week of PGA Tour action. And this week we're on the other side of the country as the Florida Swing kicks into gear in Palm Beach Gardens for the Honda Classic. The West Coast Swing finished up last week at Riviera Country Club with Joaquin Neiman bagging his second PGA Tour victory, a dominant wire-to-wire job with a crazy low winning score of 19 under par. I thought this course was supposed to be hard. Wes, this was the best field we had seen all year, and really it did not turn out to be the heavyweight fight we thought it would be. Neiman fired two straight 8 under par 63s to get his tournament started on Thursday and Friday, and he was really in the driver's seat the rest of the way, really too far ahead to even be challenged. And next thing you know, the 23-year-old from Chile cashes as a 60-to-1 long shot.
Yeah, Brady, I don't want the West Coast Swing to end because it's been so good for myself and for the show, for that matter, but we do get our third straight outright win with Joaquin Neiman at 60-to-1, two-shot win over Cameron Young and Colin Morikawa. And really, with Neiman all week on approach, he was terrific. He led the field for strokes gained approach, led in tee to green, second for strokes gained around the green, and former number one world-ranked amateur, so he's had the pedigree. Looked like he was going to run away, but kind of didn't run away on Sunday. Kept it a little bit close because it's when you look at the stats, it's just one of the weird things. He was dead last amongst the 75 players that made the cut for strokes gained putting in the final round on Sunday. Usually don't see when a guy putts that poorly or has those poor numbers that he's going to win, let alone win by two shots, but he did. So Joaquin Neiman gets on the board 60-to-1, his second career PGA Tour win. He is now in the world-ranked top 20, I believe number 20 in the OWGR. He will be part of the field this week at the Honda Classic. Obviously slashed anywhere 18 or 20-to-1-ish.
Yeah, you mentioned it. You carried the torch for the Long Shots crew for yet another week as you landed on Neiman as one of your selections. That's now three straight outright winners for you. You and I both had Tom Hoge at Pebble Beach a few weeks ago. You and Matt Eumanns were both on Scottie Scheffler in Phoenix. And then you, of course, had Neiman this week. Matt Eumanns had him as well, but we did not publish that in either Point Spread Weekly or on the Long Shot show.
And I got to give Matt a little credit because, I mean, I ended up on him anyway, but Matt and I had a conversation on Sunday night after the Super Bowl at a local establishment here in Las Vegas, and we were just kind of talking about, hey, who do you think you'll like this week? And Matt was kind of like, you know, Joaquin Neiman, like that guy, we've been playing him a lot and not been getting rewarded on him. It's like, he's going to win really soon, and sooner came very soon the very next time, so Joaquin Neiman gets us on the board again.
Yeah, you told me that story about him kind of leaning towards Joaquin Neiman, and then it was kind of a surprise. I know he had a bet on him, but it was a surprise to not see him put him out on the show or in our publication. But that is now five outright winners in the first 7 weeks of the new year for Team Long Shots.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, when we do the PSW, of course, we limit it to four. But oftentimes, you know, we're on six guys, maybe, sure, or seven guys for a tournament. So I put him in the column. I did not put him in the four, though. And that's kind of been working for me. You know, it's like I've got four outrights this year, but only one time have I put it in the four in Point Spread Weekly. So that's why it pays to, of course, listen to this very program, Long Shots. Read PSW. Read my stuff. Brady contributes some stuff from time to time. That, of course, is in Point Spread Weekly. That's at VSiN.com. So go ahead and cop that read.
All right, let's move to the other side of the country as the Florida Swing gets underway this week, beginning with the Honda Classic. It will be the first of four events in the Sunshine State. And when we conclude the Florida Swing, West, only 18 days will remain until the Masters. And speaking of the Masters, the Champions Course at PGA National, that is the site of this week's event. It is a very difficult golf course. And outside of the major championship venues, this has been the very most difficult course on tour in five of the last 7 years. It's a par 70, typical Florida setting, lot of water, palm trees, wind, and sand bunkers. How did you break down the handicap this week for the Honda Classic?
Yeah, and you mentioned it in the lead-in there, Brady, of course, that the Honda Classic at the Champions Course at PGA National Resort and Spa, originally a Tom and George Fazio design, but renovated, of course, by Jack Nicklaus, 71-25, par 70. You got water in play on 15 of the 18 holes. Very susceptible to wind, so keep an eye on the wind forecast because that'll push the balls in the water. PGA National has had the most water balls of any course on the PGA Tour over the course of the last 3 years. And these water hazards, a lot of time, will force you to lay up more often than not. So you're not going to see a ton of driver off the tee, and especially a shorter par 70. The rough's not all that penal. Fairways are narrow, but average fairway width about 29.5 feet. So it's more on the narrow side, but not, you know, not a really tight track, nevertheless. Above average speed on the greens, 12 on the stimp. So toughest course, as you mentioned, that's a non-major championship course. Of course, the Bear Trap. Holes 15 through 17 are very tough. They play an average of over about like 0.6 over par. 5, 6, and 7, also an equally tough stretch on the front nine. No nickname for it, though. But basically what I looked at strokes gained approach. I looked at strokes gained ball striking because I think you want to incorporate a little bit off the tee. Strokes gained par 4s. 12 of the 18 holes are par 4s, various length. I combine bogey avoidance and scrambling gain. That's kind of like, you know, a little bit of overlap, really, because you'll see a lot of the same names if you go find that. Strokes gained total in difficult conditions, assuming there's going to be a little win here, plus the course being difficult. And then I, of course, looked at Bermuda putting, because when we go to the start the Florida Swing, we pretty much get all Bermuda on the greens.
Yeah, we shift from Poana to Bermuda. I had a tough time with the correlated courses this week because I feel like this track is pretty unique. I did end up using Riviera because of the ball striking element. Both courses, you really have to be on with your irons, and like you alluded to, maybe less emphasis on driving distance and driving accuracy, really both at Riviera and the Honda. I did use TPC Scottsdale for the same areas of focus where driving distance and accuracy are not as important, and you mentioned the Bermuda grass greens. Of course, that's what we saw a couple weeks ago at Scottsdale. And then I used Quail Hollow really for the degree of difficulty that both courses present, and then also they both have the very speedy Bermuda grass greens. As far as skill sets, I'm with you. I looked at strokes gained approach, of course, as we do every week, scrambling, par four scoring, and then also proximity to the hole. The greens at the Honda Classic at the Champions Course are pretty big and they're very undulated. So getting one's ball close to the hole will be of greater importance this week, I believe, than others.
Yeah, I agree with you. And some of the correlated courses I had were Quail Hollow. It is a Fazio design, so I think you got to include that. Concession, where they played that Workday WGC event last year. It's a Nicklaus design, Florida track. Couple short parts, 70s. Wailea is something I looked at, where the Sony Open in Hawaii, of course, is played. Little bit of Bay Hill, which is the event next week on the PGA Tour. And a little bit of Innisbrook, Copperhead. That's where the Valspar is played in Tampa. So, yeah, there's not like as many direct correlations as maybe we found at Riviera last week. So you got to do a little bit of stretching and a little bit of digging for this particular event.
Yeah, you mentioned the Valspar. We kick off the Florida Swing with the Honda Classic, then we go to Bay Hill, and then we have the Players' Championship, and then the Valspar, and then 18 days until the Masters after the Florida Swing wraps up. Let's bring in a third voice to the Golf Betting Roundtable. He's a multi-time guest here on Long Shots, and that is David Bierman, the deputy editor of ESPN Chalk, and you can follow him on Twitter at DBiermanESPN. David, thank you very much for joining us. We always like to get a regional angle from our guests here on Long Shots, and I know this golf course is very familiar to you. So tell us about PGA National from a local perspective and how you expect the course to play, what type of players or skill sets you think it'll favor this week.
Hey guys, thanks for having me on. Yeah, you know, having grown up down in Fort Lauderdale and down in that area, got a chance to see this course many, many times, very familiar with it. I was on hold listening to a lot of what you guys said, and I agree with you guys on a lot of the things, the ball striking, shots gained, approach, being able to scramble in and around the greens is very important here. And in terms of, you know, you asked earlier about comps, and this is different. This is a different type of course. Obviously, water on 15 holes. The wind is going to move the ball into the water at times and off the greens with the undulating greens. I agree that I think Concession Country Club that they played last year was one of the courses I used for comp. You guys mentioned Bay Hill and a little bit of that course. And I use a little bit of Muirfield only because Jack has his hands on both of them. But obviously the rough there is a lot tougher to hit out of. But this is the type of course where the water is going to make you have to lay up a lot. So distance off a tee is not something I'm looking at, which is something we've looked at a lot with the West Coast courses. But it's something where I think you need to be able to manage the course. You need to have familiarity about avoiding where the water comes into play. If the wind is high, it's going to blow the ball through the fairway a lot and into the water. And you got to be able to scramble around those greens. So that's the type of course that it is. And it's a very difficult one. It's, you know, the hardest non-major, they call it, on tour. It's going to be fun. It'll be different because you've seen a lot of birdie fest out west. And even last week at the Genesis at Riviera, we were getting scores 19, 20, 21 that you're not used to seeing there. So hopefully the course will bite back a little bit here. We'll have a nice competition. It ends with 7 or 8 under par.
David, obviously the field is a little bit down compared to what we saw last week at Riviera with all the top 10 in the world, none of the top 10 here this week, but rough part of the schedule as well, because of course you have Bay Hill and then the Players immediately back to back after that. And plus you mentioned the difficulty of the course. This beats these guys up. So maybe this is one they want to make a pass on. And look, I was, going through all the stats that matter this week. And I know long shots have hit here. I think 4 of the last 9 years, it's been triple digits or more on a guy. But when you look kind of at the board, the lower price guys are probably the easiest to make a case for. So of the shorter price guys, who did you look to immediately this week?
You know, it's funny. I spent the weekend trying to convince myself that I did not want to go with Sungjae Im, knowing that the entire golf betting community knows that Sungjae Im plays this course well. They know he won there 2 years ago and finished 8th last year. But hard as I could, I couldn't find a way to not bet him. Because if you look at it, not only has he played well here, has the course history, he's in good form right now, and he loves playing in Florida. So it's a situation where it's the perfect storm of the right metrics for the course, all the ones we just talked about a couple of minutes ago. He's 11th in hitting greens, 2nd in shots gained approach, 2nd in scrambling, 4th in total, 7th tee to green. He has 3 top 11 finishes and 5 starts in 2022 since the calendar turned over. No, I don't like the 12-1 price. I never like the 12-1 price, especially in an event where there isn't any big-time players, where you're not hanging your 12-1 on a Dustin Johnson or John Rahm. Like, Sungjae Im would be 30-40-1 at any other event. So it's not ideal for value. But like you just hit on, Brady, when it comes to this event, it's hard to not look at a guy like Sungjae Im, who has played well here, has played well in Florida, is in good form, and has the perfect course metrics. Somebody else I'm looking for whose numbers aren't as short, Tommy Fleetwood. You can find him anywhere from 22-30-1. I actually grabbed him this morning at 30-1. Here's a guy that spent the early part of the year overseas playing the European Tour. You haven't seen him, but that doesn't mean he's ready. He isn't ready to go. It's his first appearance on the PGA Tour since October. He has 3 top 15 finishes overseas, including a T12 at Dubai. But when I look at Tommy Fleetwood, you guys mentioned Bermuda a few minutes ago. The guy loves playing in Florida. Finished 30th in 2020, fourth year in 2018, has three top tens at the Arnold Palmer Invitational and two top sevens up at Sawgrass at the TPC, all within the last 5 years. He's a good ball striker, he's a good putter, and he loves playing the Florida courses. It's why he ignores the West Coast, and he comes here. So if you can find Tommy Fleetwood a little bit in the 25 to 30 range, I think he's a good play.
Yeah, David, 30 to 1 is a nice number on a guy that has had so much success here. And you mentioned a lot of people don't realize they haven't seen him on the radar as far as the PGA Tour. But yes, absolutely a lot of success overseas recently. Were you able to land on any long shots, maybe some sleepers or anybody in the triple digit odds neighborhood that you think has a legitimate shot this week?
I looked up and down, and you know, I wouldn't rush to the window to take this one, but the more I look, I remember I've been in golf pools for about 25 years, and I remember playing this guy a whole bunch of times at the Honda Classic, no matter where it was at, whether it was at Weston Hills, where it was when I grew up, or if it was up at Jack's Horse. But Luke Donald, former number one player in the country at 150-1, before you guys laughed me off the air, you wanted a triple-digit one. He's made the cut in 11 of his last 13 appearances at the Honda with five top tens. I know he hasn't won anything in significance in the last decade. Here's a guy who was tied for 11th 2 years ago, was a runner-up in 2008. He's played this course extremely well. Yes, he hasn't won anything in a decade, but here's a former number one player in the country who can play this course. And he asked for a triple-digit one, so that was the best one I could come up with.
David, we've seen some 300-1s and 400-1s get here. That's as high as Patty Harrington was in 2015 when he beat Daniel Berger in a playoff. So nothing's out of bounds, I think, really, for this week. You will get some unconventional winners here. But you know this course very well. And, look, you've got a lot of players. You've got a fair amount, especially some of these international players that are coming to play this course for the first time. And it's a more difficult course than they're going to face on a week-to-week basis, which we pointed out a couple times. So when you look at these debutants coming over here, do you think they're more likely to struggle? Or do you think because it's such a struggle for everybody that just kind of equalizes the field here and the debutant could go very well?
I'd be surprised if a debutant won only because most of these guys have been playing on the Puyallup grass out west, and they haven't played in a course that has this much wind and water. Some of the desert courses, you don't see water at all, and you have 15 different holes with water on it here. So I would be surprised. But if there's a first-timer that I think has the proper game to get it done, solid ball striker and very, very much improved putter this year is Mito Pereira. And we talked about how Joaquin Niemann won last week as a Chilean, and this is his fellow countryman. And Mito has had a lot of pub around him, and he hasn't necessarily finished in good standings. You have to keep in mind, the tracks that they played the last couple of weeks have been, for the most part, birdie fest, where Mito is the type of guy who's second on tour in bogey avoidance, which is a factor here at the Honda Classic when you're talking about a winning score that's going to be probably in single digits and a lot of penalties around the area. You want to avoid bogeys at all costs, and that's one of the factors here. He's second on tour in avoiding that, which doesn't really help you when all these birdie fests are going out there for 28, 29 under par. But in an event where single digits is probably going to win, the fact that this guy stays out of trouble and he has been the most improved on the green of any player on tour this year, and with the solid low ball striking that he can stay under the wind, he would be a guy that I would play out there as a first-time person that could do well this weekend.
David, did you single anybody out or a few players that you think might have a tough time this week? Maybe, now you mentioned Mito Pereira, he is a first-timer here. Maybe some of the other first-timers that you think will struggle, maybe a player that's not in good form or you just feel that isn't a good fit for this course.
Yeah, one of the guys I singled out, Russell Knox, who actually had success here about a decade ago, but he's missed the cut at the Honda Classic at PGA National in four of the last 5 years, and the one year he didn't miss the cut, he finished T51. So no result higher than T51 in the last 5 years. His work around green, you and I just talked a few minutes ago about how important scrambling is going to be. He's 122nd on tour in scrambling. He's also worse at putting right now. He's in the 200s on tour in putter and middle of the pack in terms of getting off the tee. He's someone who I played over the weekend to try to get into a top 10, and he actually played over par for the weekend at Riviera, which was one of the few guys who did that. So even though he's had some good events recently, had a poor weekend, and if you look at his last three events, oddly, he's finished T33 in all three of them. That's not exactly someone who's in great standing, especially with a bad weekend, because he had a shot at a top 10, going into the weekend at Riviera. He's not a guy I'm going to play this week. Missed the cut for the last 5 years, and I don't think this course with ball striking and work around the green is good for Russell Knox.
So, David, you may have more on your card, but we're going to limit you to four here. If you had to run in the window, make your foursome, your top four plays here for the Honda Classic at PGA National.
I'm going to go with the two that I said off the top in Sung J.M. And Tommy Fleetwood, and I'm going to take Florida resident Billy Horschel, University of Florida grad from my alma mater. Plays well in Florida, loves Bermuda grass. You can get him around 25-1. And my fourth one, I want to go Daniel Berger because this course fits this guy perfectly, almost as good as Sung J.M. I just don't trust him because of his injury history that he's had the last couple of weeks, missed the cut in his return 2 weeks ago. So I'm going to go with Keith Mitchell as a little bit of a longer shot as someone that I want to take. Mitchell's in good form, won here 2 years ago, and is someone who has T10 at Waste Management, T12 at Pebble, and T7 at Hawaii, also really good in scrambling off the tee and in tee to green. So Keith Mitchell will be the fourth guy I'm going to play.
Very good. I am on a couple of those players, so hopefully your foursome works out well for you, David. Hey, before we let you go, we are 45 days away from the Masters, the season's first major championship. Have you made any plays on a winner, an outright winner for Augusta in 2022, or is there anybody maybe that's on your radar that you're considering to slip on the green jacket?
Yes to both. On January 1, one of the local casino sports books here, Sugar House Bet Rivers, gave away a Welcome to New Year's $25 free bet. I put it on Cam Smith to win the Masters, and then he went out and won in Hawaii about 3 days later. So I figured, you know, throwing money on the guy to win in April and he wins a couple of days later was, you know, laugh at me. I do think he has a good shot at winning this, so hopefully that 25-1 pays off. I got him at closer to 35 back in January. One guy that I'm looking at right now, just because I like the way he's playing, he may not be finishing tournaments well right now, but I think Justin Thomas is bringing the type of game that's going to win in Augusta, and he's fine-tuning it. He's basically contending every single week as you would expect to. And when it comes time to the majors, I think Justin Thomas is a guy that I would keep my eye on, especially at Augusta, where I think as long as he putts well, he has the right game to win it there, and I think this might be his time.
Great stuff as always, David. Thank you for being a regular guest here on Long Shots. Enjoy the Honda Classic, my friend, and go Gators.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy, and yes, go Gators.
Thank you, David.
That is David Bierman, the deputy editor at ESPN Chalk. We've got no event across the pond this week, so we'll take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll get right into major implications, some more Masters talk. I have now three bets in pocket for the Masters. Wes has one, and Matt Eumanns has a couple as well. So stick with us. We'll be right back right here on Long Shots.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to Long Shots. For major implications, the first major of the year, of course, is the Masters, and it will tee off on April the 7th at Augusta National Golf Club in Augusta, Georgia. And I have said it here before on Long Shots, I do have Cameron Smith in pocket at 40-1. I bet him mid-tournament before he won at Kapalua. Of course, our guest David Bierman catching him before he even started at Kapalua. So a couple of us there on Cameron Smith to take it down at Augusta in 2022. I also played Jason Day in a little bit of a speculative play here as he was at 125-1. That was by far the best number I could find on Jason Day. Now, he is not yet in the field. He has not cracked the top 50 in the world rankings just yet. But after he got on that good run, as he usually does on the West Coast swing at Torrey Pines and Pebble Beach, I took a shot with Jason Day. And then I added another one this week, Wes, another Australian, Mark Leishman. And I also found him at 125-1 at Circa Sports. That was the best number I could find on Mark Leishman. He's 8-for-8 in making cuts this season. He has 3 top 10 finishes already, and he just took 15th at the Genesis. His last 4 Masters, he's gone 9th, 49th, 13th, and he was 5th last April. He also finished 4th at Augusta back in 2013. I thought 125-1 was a pretty big price on a guy who's had so much success at that golf course and currently ranked 37th in the world.
Well, it is in a good spot by you, because if you look at the market, at least by and large, you know, you're seeing 66-1. I think that's kind of pretty much consensus right now on Leishman. But like you said, you got to shop around, because this is the time where you'll get variance in a lot of these prices, where some will drift up, some will shorten and whatnot. So, yeah, you got to find good numbers at least a little bit where you can, because once we get to like tournament week, and I know I've been waiting a little bit longer, but probably right around after the Players is where I'm going to add at least maybe bulk in terms of an advance, and then save a couple spots for maybe guys during the week that I start to like a few days before the event. But once we get to Masters week, the market is pretty much going to be the same. You know, where you're going to say, okay, if I can get Leishman, he's going to be pretty much the same price. You know, one market might have him, let's say 50-1. One market might have him 60. You're not going to get a lot of variance. So, you know, grabbing those big numbers early before they drift, and especially timing the market like you did with Cameron Smith, you know, getting him in the 40 range, and now he's in the mid-20s, and that's probably where he's going to stay. He's probably not going to drift up very much higher. The only thing I have right now, of course, same thing, Justin Thomas, and he hasn't really drifted upwards at all, because he's been playing pretty well. He's not been winning, but he was in contention. He was on the first page of the leaderboard at Riviera last week. Same thing for Phoenix the week before. So a guy like a Thomas, you're not going to get all of a sudden, oh, he's going to be like 25-1. That's not going to happen. So this is pretty much probably where you're going to get him now as when you get him at Masters week, unless he goes on and like wins Bay Hill or wins the Players or something of that nature.
Matt Eumanns, our colleague, the third wheel to our Long Shots team here, is also on Cameron Smith. Got him at 41-1. And he also has the youngster who finished 2nd at Augusta last year, Will Zalatoris, at 40-1. You mentioned you have Justin Thomas. I played Justin Thomas for the Masters last season, and he looked really good through the first 36 holes. Did you, if I recall, did you get him at about 14-1?
That's where I have him, yes.
14-1.
And that's pretty much where he is in the market right now.
Absolutely. I think I may have seen a 16, but yeah, certainly not in the neighborhood of 20-1 or higher. The British Open, of course, this summer, it will be at the Old Course at St. Andrews, and there's really quite a bit of correlation if you look at who has had success at Augusta National and who has had success at St. Andrews. You'll find a lot of the same names. Zach Johnson has won major tournaments at both St. Andrews and the Masters. Tiger Woods, of course, Nick Faldo. Anybody that is on your radar in studying the Masters, have you looked forward a little bit and maybe picked out some names that you might land on for St. Andrews this
year? I have
year?
Not as of yet, but of course you look at some of the shorter routes on the board. Jordan Spieth's also won at St. Andrews and won at Augusta National. Louis Oosthuizen won at St. Andrews. And remember, he lost that playoff to Bubba Watson at the Masters. So, you know, no real surprises, I think, here. You're just kind of looking around and maybe seeing if you like any. A lot of the international players, like the jury is already out on them. So if you think you're going to get sneaky and like bet Robert McIntyre or somebody like that at a really good price, the word is obviously out on these guys. So, you know, some of these South Africans and Australians that have won on the European Tour in recent years, if you're looking for long shots, like Garrick Higo or Lucas Herbert or Christian Bezuidenhout, Alex Noren, those guys. So you'll see them drift over time. But Obviously, still some qualification to be done to get in that Open Championship field, and they'll have a cutoff if you're at a certain point in the world ranking. They, of course, have the Open Qualifying Series, some of these DP World Tour events, and some of the PGA Tour events, especially if you get in the summer after the U.S. Open. They usually have for, like, the next event, you know, the top two finishers at the Travelers or at the 3M Open or in Detroit, depending on the order of the schedule, can usually lock up open spots.
If you look at the players that have had success at Augusta National, their odds to win the British Open currently down the street at the Westgate: Justin Rose, 60-1, Adam Scott, 60-1, Sergio Garcia, 60-1, Mark Leishman, the aforementioned Mark Leishman, at 60-1. And if you recall, when Zach Johnson won the British Open at St. Andrews, he was in a playoff there with Louis Oosthuizen, I believe, Mark Leishman, and I think maybe Jason Day as well. I mentioned I have a ticket at 125-1 to win the Masters on Jason Day. Jason Day also 80-1 to win the Open Championship.
Yeah, so look, we'll see if that form continues from Torrey Pines, where he played very well. Played okay at Pebble Beach, but we'll see. You know, I think he's playing fewer events because of the injury issues over the years, but maybe that allows him to peak at the right time.
All right, when we come back, we're going to get into our match play segment, go over all the plays for Matt Youmans, myself, and Wes Reynolds for this week's event, the Honda Classic at PGA National.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Welcome back to Long Shots, the world's number one rated golf betting show, right here on VSiN and VSiN.com, the sports betting network. It is time for our final segment, the match play segment, where we go over all of our plays for this week's tournament. Of course, the Honda Classic, as we kick off the Florida Swing in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. And we will start with our colleague Matt Youmans' plays, and he does not have any head-to-head matchups this week. Just four outrights to win the Honda Classic, and we're starting with the Florida State Seminole. Brooks Koepka at 21-1 is on Matt's card. Also Keith Mitchell, he lines up there with our guest David Bierman, got Keith Mitchell at 30-1. Aaron Wise, the Las Vegas resident and former Oregon Duck, at 45-1. And then finally the Canadian Mackenzie Hughes at 50-1. That completes Matt Youmans' card. Anybody on that list make your card, Wes?
Keith Mitchell did. I'll point out, of course, Brooks Koepka, a Jupiter, Florida resident, much like Daniel Berger, several of these players. Jupiter, about 15 minutes north of PGA National. Brooks Koepka actually born in West Palm Beach, about 20 minutes south of this course. So kind of a home game for these guys. He was the runner-up in 2019, along with Ricky Fowler, to Keith Mitchell, who, of course, is on my card at 35-1. Man, it's a short price because it's like he can't possibly be this short, right? Because he won here, of course, is around, you know, 250, 300 to one shot, depending on your number here in 2019. Mixed in with that victory, he's got a 53rd and he's got two missed cuts, but he's shown more consistency lately. 7 of 8 cuts made dating back to that T3 out here at Summit in Las Vegas for the CJ Cup. Top 12 in 4 of his last 5 starts, T7 at the Sony Open, where I think you're going to have some crossover success. I think there are 4 players that I saw in like the last maybe dozen to 15 years that have not only won the Sony, but have won the Honda Classic. Most recently, Justin Thomas has done it, Russell Henley, Mark Wilson, Ernie Els. So thought, you know, that made sense to look at the Sony Open a little bit, and I maybe did it too heavy. We shall see. Mitchell also near the top in this field for SG ball striking, stroke gain on par fours, bogey avoidance, and scrambling gained.
Yeah, I landed on Keith Mitchell as well. Got him at 35-1. I didn't really want to take less than that, and I don't know if I recommend taking Keith Mitchell at less than that. You've had very few repeat champions here at the Honda Classic, and Keith Mitchell, of course, would qualify as a repeat winner. And Wes, you're being humble. You had him at 250 or 300-1 a couple of years ago. And you're right. He's been playing really good. And, you know, like we talked about with David, and you talked about it in your question to David, when you just go off of the stats, there's probably only 30 some players in this field that really check a lot of boxes.
Right.
So it was hard for me to get past, you know, those top 30 guys on the board or so. And I ended up landing on Mitchell. He was just one of those guys that, you know, made sense with the correlated courses. He's had great success at Quail Hollow, played really good at Scottsdale over the years. You mentioned Wiley. So I am on Mitchell as well.
Yeah. And these guys look leading in, getting these top 10s, top 15s. We saw it with Neiman last week, where he's, I think, eighth or sixth in Saudi Arabia, and then eighth the start before. I believe that was at Torrey Pines. So I was like, you know, he's got a chance here to play well, even though he didn't, like, you know, immediately step out to you. But so I'm on Mitchell with you as well. I'll go ahead and just continue my card. My shortest guy, Sungjae Im, did pop to me, but I did not play him. I want to see maybe if I can get him on an in play, because of course Sungjae Im, once you get to the Bermuda and Florida, we know his success here. Of course, he has won this event before, won it 2 years ago, plays well at Bay Hill. I think he has back-to-back thirds at Bay Hill, and that's, by the way, in Orlando, where we'll be next week. But top of my board, shortest guy I got 22-1 is Billy Horschel. And, you know, a lot of people like him this week, and for good reason. Bermuda Billy, his nickname. Got back in the winner's circle twice last year for the first time in 4 years.
He'd been really hot.
Yeah, 7 wins on the main tour. 6 of those victories, by the way, came off a top 11 or better finish in his previous start. And recall, last start he played was at Phoenix. T6, just kind of was ahead of those main groups, ran out of holes, missed a couple putts. So Billy Horschel wasn't able to get in, like, a playoff there. T2 last year at the concession, Nicholas Design, I think some correlation here. And also, if you look, I thought this was an interesting angle. Late in about middle of the summer, when he split with Francesco Molinari, the caddy Mark Fuchs Fulcher, who spent many years with Justin Rose, and Billy Horschel teamed up. And ever since then, they did win the BMW PGA over at Wentworth in England. So they've had some success together. And Fuchs, Mark Fulcher, he was on the bag for Justin Rose in those really successful years in the early part of the decade, where he was third at the Honda in 2010, fifth in 2012, fourth in 2013. So thought that was a little bit of an interesting wrinkle. So maybe that's our narrative street this week. Johnny Vegas, 50-1, came close to getting back in the winner's circle for the first time since 2017 on 3 occasions last year, but he ended up settling for runner-up on all 3 of those occasions. 55th last week at Riviera, so pretty nondescript, but he's 14th on approach, 20th tee to green. He's got a 4th to his credit here in 2017, has made the cut each of the last 5 years at PGA National, and also, this guy historically plays well on Nicholas Designs. 2 wins at Glen Abbey for the RBC Canadian Open, a win at PGA West, where the Nicholas and the Dye course are played in that rotation out there in Palm Springs. So Johnny Vegas, 50-1. Denny McCarthy, 55-1. Top 15 in 5 of his last 7 PGA Tour events, going back to that Bermuda Championship last November. T3 at the Honda last year. That's his best finish actually ever on the PGA Tour. And one of the things you see with Denny McCarthy, he's pretty average with the ball striking. I mean, we always target these ball strikers and these approach guys. His numbers are pretty average. They won't stand out to you, but he's got one of the best short games on the PGA Tour. 3rd in this field for Bermuda putting, strokes gained, 5th in bogey avoidance, 6th in scrambling gain over the last 24 rounds. So McCarthy, if he can just be, like, okay, this is a guy I think that can steal strokes on the greens, where a lot of these guys are going to be losing. Christian Bezuidenhout, 60-1, one of the game's best putters as well. Mm-hmm. Top in the field for strokes gained putting Bermuda over the last 24 rounds. Irons have been pretty good lately, though. He's 6 on approach over the last 24 rounds. Just has to kind of keep it more in play off the tee, and we saw Neiman kind of struggle with that on the back nine on Saturday and a little bit on Sunday. Gained full-time PGA Tour status late last year. I know he's got limited experience in Florida, but of that limited experience, solid finishes here. 7th at Bay Hill last year, T18 the year prior. 4 rounds in the 60s earlier this year at Waialae, where he was T17 at the Sony. That matches, of course, a couple players that played well in that event that I think are going to play well here. And there's another one, Russell Knox. I know our guest wasn't quite keen on him. And look, he was 2nd and 3rd in back-to-back year 2014-2015. But to be fair, he has missed the cut here on 4 of his last 5 appearances. So you got to take the sweet with the sour with this guy. Maybe the best bet is to have him finish 33rd because he's done the Larry Bird 3 straight weeks. But 2nd on approach, 2nd on strokes gained ball striking last 24 rounds. He has gone well here before. And 71 I thought was a fair price. The one bomb I really took at triple digits was 125-1. That's the Canadian Adam Svensson, who's in his 2nd year's time on the PGA Tour, was on it about 3 years ago and then didn't keep his card, had to go back to the Corn Ferry. He won twice last season, played his college golf at Barry University in Miami, and actually is now a local resident here in Palm Beach Gardens. So he is really familiar with this course, despite the fact that he only has one Honda Classic in his career. Played this all the time in college, practices here. So I think the familiarity will be very helpful. 7th at the Sony earlier this season as well. So that matches up a little bit, a little angle I played on the card this week.
I think that's one debutante on your card, right? In Bezuidenhout?
Yes.
Yep, one debutante. I did. I don't believe I went with any debutantes. I went with a couple of former winners. We mentioned Keith Mitchell. I got him at 35-1. I did land on the chalk, Mr. Florida, Sungjae Im, got him at 14-1, and I've even seen that price pop up. It was down as low as 10-1, and now I've seen it drift up back towards 14. You might not notice this guy is so young in his career, but he has got one of the best records in the state of Florida of anybody on tour ever. Of course, he won here 2 years ago, added a win just recently at TPC Summerlin. He is of that mold that's a very good ball striker and a good scrambler. That's kind of who I went after this week. And, you know, if you look what he did out on the West Coast, he played pretty darn well out here. And that was all on Poana surfaces. So now he goes over to his preferred surface of Bermuda. So I did take a shot with the chalk here. I figure he's got to be in the mix. Hopefully he can find his way to the top of the board. Aaron Wise made my card. Very solid history here at the Honda. 13th, 35th, and 33rd in his last three trips. Also pretty solid on the correlated courses and really good at Quail Hollow. I like the way he's been hitting it as of late. Both Mitchell, we talked about Keith Mitchell earlier, both Keith Mitchell and Aaron Wise really known for their ball striking, but both guys have really improved in their scrambling. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned, that's the combination I like this week. So I thought Aaron Wise at 50-1 was a decent shot. Mackenzie Hughes, Matt Eumanns and I line up on that one. I got the Canadian at 55-1.
With a really good short game.
Exactly. And that's where I was headed with this one. Very solid on the correlated courses and a great short game. He was 2nd here to Sungjae Im 2 years ago. So I'm hoping that creates a good feel for him at this place. Also just had a top 10 in Scottsdale. So the form looks to be spot on right now. I'm with you on Jonathan Vegas. I got him at 60-1, playing some really solid golf right now. And he's always done well here at the Honda. You mentioned he's won at Nicklaus courses before. I like his ability to play in the wind as well. And maybe that says something about part of his success here at the Honda, the ability to play in the wind. We're not expecting huge wind this week, but if it does get gusty at all, I like Jonathan Vegas's experience in those conditions. And then finally at 66-1, I took a shot with K.H. Lee, just finished 26th at Riviera. He does have a prior top 10 here at the Honda. 18th on tour in scrambling, 39th in par four scoring. Really good current form. And I thought 66-1, Wes, was probably a little higher than this guy's odds really should be.
Yeah, recall that he won the, I believe, the Byron Nelson last year.
Yes.
So, and he was right there in the mix in terms of in Phoenix. I think he was like second to Brooks Koepka. So I've seen some support for KH Lee. I've seen some support for Mackenzie Hughes. He rates on all the Bermuda putting, the scrambling, the bogey avoidance. Mm-hmm. He was in like the top 13 in all those carries. Also strokes gained par four. I think he was second in the field. So Mackenzie Hughes was definitely one I considered. And Aaron Wise, I've seen him get some support as well. And you're right, the stuff around the green is very much improved for this guy.
Any head-to-head matchups that you've landed on yet?
Yeah, just two. 7-5-3 so far this season, but we did an 0 for last week, so couldn't get it all, Brady. I guess we can't get greedy when we hit a 60-1 future, but 0 for on the matchups last week. So a couple I did take Jonathan Vegas over Mito Pereira. It was about -130, 140 in the market. Also, going against the defending champion, Matt Jones, Alex Noren, -130. Alex Noren's really been playing well.
Yeah, he has.
And I considered him, but I kind of want to wait on Alex Noren a little bit because I think this is a guy that maybe could be a little bit of a dark horse at Bay Hill in a better field next week, or perhaps at the Valspar, the Players. But he'll probably be on at least one or two of my cards here during this month in Florida.
Well, you and I have lined up on another one. I am also on Jonathan Vegas over Mito Pereira. I was able to find him at -120. And part of my reasoning there is I wanted to go. Well, first of all, you obviously know I like Vegas this week. I have him as an outright, but I kind of wanted to go against not only a debutant, but a guy that's getting a lot of love from the golf tipsters out there in Mito Pereira. Sometimes that's a bad sign. Other times I could be dead wrong, and maybe this guy will go on and get his first PGA Tour victory. The other matchup I took, I faded one of your guys. I took Tommy Fleetwood at +110 over Billy Horschel. And David Bierman, our guest, pointed out how well Tommy Fleetwood not only plays in Florida, but has been playing as of late. Now, Billy Horschel, red hot as well. But again, another one of those guys that's really popular this week. And I thought +110 was a pretty good price there on Tommy Fleetwood in a matchup that I kind of see closer to a pick'em.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and look, I think everybody's kind of waiting on Fleetwood. We've been waiting on him to win that big event on the PGA Tour, but he has very good form here. Now, back in the day when he got that form, of course, he was, you know, a lot higher ranked in the world. He's got two appearances here, actually, Tommy Fleetwood. When I looked at my form sheet, fourth in 2018, third in 2020. Can't really get a lot better than that for a very short sample size. So eighth, I believe, 3 weeks ago. I think that was over in Saudi Arabia. So he's taken the last couple weeks off. Maybe that rest is going to do him some good, and he could go very well here.
Yeah, you and I both went 0 for on our matchups last week. I was red hot on the head-to-heads out of the gate, but went 0 for 4 last week. So now I'm at 500 on the year. We'll see if we can get back in the black this week at the Honda. That is going to do it for this week's edition of Long Shots. Enjoy the Honda Classic. Next week, we will head to Bay Hill, and Alex Myers of Golf Digest will be our guest to help preview the Arnold Palmer Invitational. You know the Players are going to hit some long shots. Hopefully we do too.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.